Gershon was older than Kohath. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to count the family of Kohath prior to the family of Gershon, even though Gershon himself was older. Because, as the Mephoshim say, Moshe and Aaron themselves were descendants of Kohath, whose function was to carry, during the journey in the Midbar, the most important kelim of the Mishkan. But in order that the Bnei Kohath shouldn't get too proud of the fact that they have this most important role, and that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were descendants of theirs, the Torah, when it was Masada, the Seder of the Parshas, the Malbim says it was organized that this Parsha should start with Bnei Gershon as a sort of slight to the Bnei Kohath, so they shouldn't feel too happy about themselves. What's interesting is, and this is a point that has to be dealt with, that when the Torah commands Moshe Rabbeinu to count the family of Kohath and to count the family of Gershon, the Torah uses the expression Nosoi, which is actually the name of the week's parasha, based on the first words of the pasuk, Nosoi Esreish Bnei Gershon. And the literal translation of the word Nosoi is Miloshen Nesia, which means to raise up, or to lift up. That's the literal translation of the word. In the context, the meaning is to raise up, thereby single out, thereby count. However, when it comes to the Mishpacha of Merari, there the Torah uses what in fact is Lichura, the correct word to use. There the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, Tifkoidoi, some count them. So one would have to have some type of explanation or some type of understanding as to why it is that in relevance to two of the three families that Shevet Levi were composed of, namely the family of Gershon and the family of Kohath, the expression that's used in the Torah is an expression of lifting up or raising up, whereas in reference to the Mishpacha of Merari, the expression which is used is the straightforward expression of counting. In addition, we find another strange point in reference to the first two psukim in this week's parsha, because the parsha opens up with the time-old expression which we find time and time again in the Torah, and that is Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lema, that God spoke to Moshe saying. Now, every single time when the Torah uses the expression Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lema, the meaning of that expression is that Moshe Rabbeinu was given a commandment which he then had to give over to Klal Yisrael. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God, I have a commandment here which Klal Yisrael have to fulfill, and I want you to be the messenger which is going to give over to Klal Yisrael the commandment that they have to fulfill, the pasuk always uses the expression Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, God spoke to Moshe, Lema meaning, now go and tell Klal Yisrael that this is what they have to do. This pasuk of Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lema, which is the introductory pasuk in this week's parsha, is not a tzivoy to Moshe Rabbeinu to give over to Klal Yisrael. This is a tzivoy to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is being told here, you go and you count Bnei Yisrael. He wasn't told, you go and tell Klal Yisrael that they should count themselves. No, you're the one who has to do the counting. So if this is a direct command to Moshe Rabbeinu, why doesn't the pasuk say, Vayitzav Hashem al Moshe, that God commanded Moshe? Or why doesn't the pasuk say, Vayadabar Hashem al Moshe, God spoke to Moshe commanding him? Why does the pasuk use the phrase, Vayadabar Hashem al Moshe Lema, which always indicates that Moshe is just simply a messenger giving over the command to Klal Yisrael that they have to go and do it? It's the wrong expression, Lechayre, here. In the continuation of the Parsha, the next chapter, the Torah says the following, Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe Lema, that God commanded Moshe to give over a commandment to Klal Yisrael. What was the commandment that he was told to give over to Klal Yisrael? Continues the pasuk, Dabar el Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is told the following, go out, speak to Klal Yisrael, Va'amartu aleihem, and tell them that they have the following commandment. Ish oi isha. If there is a man or a woman, ki yafli linder neder nozir lahazil Hashem. If there is a man or a woman within Klal Yisrael who decide that they want to separate themselves from Klal Yisrael and they want to act in a manner which is more Kodesh than what is expected of the average Jew. They want to become what is known in Halacha as a Nazir. Then the Torah continues and the Torah says that these are the halachas which apply to such a person. Namely, he has to refrain from drinking wine or things which are involved in wine. He has to let his hair grow, etc., etc., etc. All the halachas that are applicable to a nozir. Now, the immediate parasha which precedes the parasha of nozir in this week's parasha is the parasha of a Saita. Now, the parasha of a Saita is a woman who has been warned by her husband that she should not be miyached with a certain male, right? She's been told by her husband that you are, or have been found, or are known to have been miyached, to be alone in a locked room with the postman, and I object. He can deliver to you the registered mail outside of a locked door. And she's been warned, and she ignores the warning, and she does it again. There is no actual testimony that they were doing anything other than discussing international postal rates. But nevertheless, there is a aura or a suspicion here of something else which is going on other than the writing of a doctoral thesis about how the world's postal services work. So there's a technique which the Torah brings here, which will be a process that the woman has to go through, by which it will be determined whether her meeting with the postman was totally innocent or whether there was an act of adultery going on here. Basic outline we all know, right? She drinks the May Seder. She will either die from it or she will not die from it. If she dies from it, then obviously there was something else going on here. If she doesn't die from it, then it was innocent. To which Rashi, at the beginning of the parasha of Nozir, which immediately follows the parasha of Saita, quotes Chazal, who ask the question, why is it that the Torah put these two halachas in this sequence? Why does the halacha of Saita precede the halacha of Nazir? Why does the halacha of Nazir follow the halacha of Saita? Lama nismacha parshis Nazir leparshis Saita, says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Saita, the Maseches Saita on Daf Beis. To which the Gemara answers, Loimalacha. This is coming to teach us something. What's it coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that Haroya Saito Bikilkula, if somebody will see that the whole Saita story, then the result will be Yazir Atzmi Min Hayayin, he will refrain from drinking wine, because wine is one of those catalysts, Shehumevi Lidei Niuf, that bring about promiscuous behavior. In other words, the following. Chazal have a problem. And Chazal's problem is that Nazir and Seder are two totally, completely opposing ideas. The Nazir is the individual who is trying to separate himself to the extreme from any type of taiva of Olam Hazeh. The Seder is the woman who is accused, and if proven guilty, has actually committed averus, which are the epitome of pritzus, which are the prototype of pritzus. So therefore, Chazal had a problem, why did the Torah put these two extremes one after the other? To which Chazal answer that the reason is because it is when a person sees a Saita Bekilkula, when a person sees the punishment that the Saita gets, which consists of two parts. It consists of a total degradation of the dignity of the woman in front of the public by the Kohen. And it also, if she dies, is the most undignified way of dying, because Chazal say that what happens is that basically she drinks the Mei Saita, and if the accusation is true, then the way that she dies is slowly the limbs of her body fall off until she basically dies. The arms, the legs, and then eventually the head falls off. And even though present company would seem to prove the opposite, in normal society, when you lose your head, you die. The indignity that the Saita goes through, both in terms of what the Kohen does to her, and in terms of the death that the Saita experiences, will create a deterrent in the eyes of the person that sees it, that he will psychologically want to withdraw himself to the extreme from ever being in a situation whereby he will fall into the same avera that the Saita fell into, thereby deserving the same indignity that the Saita goes through. And therefore he will immediately refrain from drinking, because drinking brings to Kalas Rosh, And Kalos Reish is the prime vehicle which brings a person to Niyuf, and which brought the woman to becoming a Saita, and to receive the indignity both of the ceremony and of the punishment. Or as the Ibn Ezra sums it up in one sentence, he says, Yayin mashchis da'as. What alcohol does is it destroys the thought process, thereby destroying Avodas Hashem. Therefore, thereby destroying any possibility of Avodas Hashem. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, where the Rambam discusses the concept of a Saita, of a Nozir. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, is where the Rambam talks about Naziris, because Naziris is a neder. It's a vow that a person takes upon himself to behave in a certain extreme manner of Kedusha. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, says, Mi shenoda nedarim, somebody who takes on any type of vow, kedei lekoinein de oisov, in order to focus his hashkofa, his world outlook, ulesakein maisov, or to rectify his actions, hareze zoriz, he gets the darga of being a zoriz, umeshubach, and he is praiseworthy. Ketzad, what do I mean, says the Rambam? Kegoin, says the Rambam. For example, let's take a person, Shahaya Zoylel, that he ate without any control whatsoever. His eating was uncontrollable. It was a pure taivas achilos, says the Rambam, which is called a zoylel in the language of halacha. Va'osar alav abosol shona oishnosayim. And he decides that in order to rectify that bad characteristic that he has of simply being a fresser, he's now going to refrain from eating meat. He's going to become a vegetarian for 2 years. Or a year. Or mishahoyo shoyge b'yayim. Somebody who drank too much alcohol and therefore makes a decision that va'osa hayayin al atzmo zman merubo, that he will again for a year or for 2 years not touch alcohol. And then the Rambam continues and gives further examples in this vein, in this way. Kulon derech avayda l'shem heim. This is all considered a very positive avaydas Hashem. Ubenadorim Eilu, and in reference to this type of behavior, this type of commitment, Ukayotabem, or similar commitments, Omru Chachomim, Chazal said in the Dorim on Daf Samach Gimel, that the Dorim are a siyog, they are a very good defense mechanism, Leprecious, to create that the person should be a Porush and thereby not fall in the trap of doing an Avera. Which means the following. The Rambam seems to be saying at the end of Hilchos Nedarim that the concept of making a vow to go to the extreme in the area of Avedis Hashem is in and of itself something positive. It's a derech midarkei avedas Hashem. It's something which is positive. Which seems to be the intimation of Chazal, that the parsha of Nozir comes after the parsha of Saita, because when the individual sees what happened to the Saita, what does he decide to do? He decides to take on this derech of avedas Hashem, of going to the other extreme in order that he shouldn't fall into the same trap. Which, as the Rambam said, and which seemingly Rashi quoting Chazal is also saying, is something which is positive. On the other hand, the Gemara says in Maseches Nozir, on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Eloza Akapa Oimer, Rabbi Eloza Akapa said, why is it that the Nozir, when he completes his period of Nazirus, has to bring korbanos? And the pasuk uses the expression v'chipe olav me'ashechota ala nefesh, that these korbanos that the nazir brings at the end of his period of nazirus are an act of kapara for the chait that he did in becoming a nazir. Says the Gemara, what's the chait that he did in becoming a nazir? V'chi be'eze nefesh chata. Against who was he chayta by virtue of the fact that he became a nazir? Says the Gemara, no. Becoming a nazir means you're a chayta, because you're being a chayta against yourself. Why? Shetzir atzma min ayayin. Because you're taking upon yourself a prohibition which the Torah doesn't prohibit. You decided that you're going to stop drinking wine. The Torah didn't prohibit you from drinking wine. You took this upon yourself. So you took an unnecessary limitation or refraining upon yourself, and that's considered to be something negative. And lichura, there's an open contradiction here. On the one hand, we're told that when a person takes upon himself restrictions, which the Torah doesn't restrict him with, but it's a personal restriction that he's taking upon himself, that's called derech midalkei avodas Hashem. And that's something positive, as the Rambam says and as Rashi says, based on Chazal. And yet we have another Chazal which seems to tell us that taking restrictions upon yourself which are not restrictions of the Torah is considered to be something which is negative, to the degree that you're considered to be a sinner against yourself by refraining from doing something which you're allowed to do. So how do we put the two together? There is a Rabbeinu Yoina, which appears in Sharei Tshuva. In Shaar Rishon of Sharei Tshuva, Ois Yud Aleph. And the Sharei Tshuva says the following. There are two types of people. There are two categories of Jews. Says the Rabbeinu Yoina. One category of Jews, says the Rabbeinu Yoina, is somebody who is misyatzev al derech toiv. It's somebody who's on the right road. He's on the right route. He's misyatzev. He positions himself al derech toiv, on the right direction, the right road. Avo, but, says Rabbeinu Yoina, irilei b'mikre chet, he slipped on a specific aveira. He messed up on something. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, that is the person that the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Tshuva, in the 10 prokim of Hilchos Tshuva, and that is the person that the Gemara in Yuma talks about, on which the Rambam bases his psak. Namely, that such a person who is mitzyatzev al derech toiv, but he messed up on one thing, there is a certain seder, there's a certain order, there's a certain procedure that he has to go through, and if he goes through this procedure, he will be able to be chayzer b'tshuva on the aveira that he did, and his tshuva will be accepted. And what is that? First of all, he has to regret that he did the Aveira, Charota al Ahava. Then he has to make sure that he divorces himself from the Chet, which the Rabbeinu Yoni and the Rambam call Azivas HaChet, leaving the Chet. And then there has to be a Kabbalah al Asid, right, that he will never again do the Chet. But that's all talking, says Rabbeinu Yonah, about the guy who's on the right road. He just made a wrong turn at a certain point. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah, there is a second type of person. And the second type of person is Hamitzyasev al derech loy toiv. He's on the wrong road. He wants to go from place A to place B, but he takes the highway which goes from place A to place C. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, that type of person, im roitze la'asos tshuva, if he wants to do tshuva, then it's a completely different process, says Rabbeinu Yoina. Why? Because there it has to work the other way around. There, the first thing he has to do is he has to be oizev esachet. And then he can have charata on the chet that he did. But if he's not oizev esachet, if he doesn't leave off the chet, then having charata on the chet that he did isn't going to help him, because a second later he's going to do it again. If a guy is traveling from place A to place B, he's on the right highway, but all he did was he made a wrong turn somewhere. He should never have got off the highway. He should have kept on the highway, and he exited. So what does he do? When he chaps that he went off the highway, he simply turns back onto the highway, and he keeps going. That, says Rabbeinu Yoina, is the Mitzyatzei Vel Derech Toiv. He's on the right highway. He made a wrong turn. He did one chet. No problem. Turn around, go back on the highway. But if you're on the wrong highway and you exit, going back onto the highway isn't going to help you, because you're still not going to get to your destination because you're on the completely wrong highway. So before you worry about turning back onto the highway, you first have to get onto the right highway. Once you've got on the right highway, then you have to worry about not making wrong exits. Even a person who is mitzyatev al derech toiv, even a person who is focused in the right direction and is going in the right direction, has a yetzer hara. And that's the regular yetzer hara that every single person has, which is constantly trying to get him to take the exit off the highway. And sometimes it comes in a very crude form. It comes in the form of an isoyan of a taiva. Sometimes it comes in a more sophisticated form. It comes in the form of a person going through some type of emotional crisis. Or it can come in the form of a person going through some type of depression. But kol zman he's mitzyatzev al derech toiv, Kozman is on the right path, he's Mithyatev al Derech Toiv, then the fact that he goes through a period of time where he's having Nisyonis of whatever type they may be, that's the normal Muchama which every individual has with his Yetzer Sahara. And you deal with it in the normal way in which you deal with the Yetzer Sahara. But if the person is mitzyatzev al derech loy toiv, if the person is on the wrong highway, whereby his whole ruchniyistik existence is under threat, because he's bichlal on the wrong highway, there you obviously need a completely different type of approach. There you need the type of approach which will result in getting yourself onto the right highway. So then the battleground is a different battleground altogether. We're not talking about the Yetzer Hara that managed to seduce a person in one particular Aveira that he was nichshel. We're talking about somebody who's completely going in the wrong direction. In other words, his whole spiritual being is totally focused in the wrong direction. And therefore there you will need something which is totally different in order to get you back onto the right highway. That's why there's no stira between these two Mamorei Chazal. Yes, the Torah says that a nozir is kodesh l'Hashem. Kodesh yeyeh, he's holy. It's a darga. It's something which is very positive. That's talking about where the person is misyate valderech loy toiv. It's talking about where the person and the individual is on the wrong highway. When you're on the wrong highway, you first got to get back to the right highway. How do you get onto the right highway? You need a total change of highway. You need a total change of focus. You need a total change of direction. If you need a total change of focus and you need a total change of direction, there, you have to go to extremes. And in order to go to extremes, the only way you can do that is a 180 degree turnaround to get you onto the right highway. And that's what the Gemara says, for example, in Dorim, on Daf Tes, that one of the Tanoim said that I once met a Nozir. Once in my lifetime I saw a Nozir. And I asked him, why are you a Nozir? And the guy said, I had no choice. I was such a good-looking guy that the girls were chasing me the whole time. So I had no choice but to go to the other extreme. Because that's a mitziate valderech l'aytev. His whole focus was in the wrong direction. So he became a nozir, which made him completely unattractive. And therefore, it was an extremity which allowed him to change direction. Chassidim say over in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. And it's brought by the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov set a principle. Hashgacha Pratis works in the following manner. A person will only see what he has a shaychus to. Something that you don't have a shaychus to, you will not see it. Therefore, two people can be walking along the same street. One person will see something, and then the other person will be walking on the same street, and he won't see it at all. Why? Because one person has a shaychus with it, and the other person doesn't have a shaychus with it. But if you see it, and you consciously see something, and you know that you saw it, that is a siman that you have a shaychus with it. Haroye saita b'kilkula. If somebody sees a saita b'kilkula, it's a siman that he's got a shaychus with that. It's a siman that he's connected somehow with that. Therefore, somebody who is roya a saita b'kilkula, and he sees the result of what that does, he's obviously touched by that taiva. And therefore, he has to go to the other extreme. He has to totally divorce himself from that. He's a mitziyatzei valderech lo'itayiv. And therefore, he has to totally divorce himself from it. But if you are a misyate valderech toiv, say Chazal, then there is no inyan of separating yourself of pushing yourself away from something which the Torah doesn't answer, because that's not what you're meant to do. If the Torah doesn't answer it, then what you're meant to do is to take it and use it for Avodas Hashem. Somebody who's Metzares Atzmo Min HaYayin, if by him the Yayin is not something negative because he's Misyatev Al Derech Toiv, so use the Yayin for Avodas Hashem. Don't refrain from Yayin. And if you do, you're a chayter. One's talking about a mitzyatev al derech toiv, and one's talking about a mitzyatev al derech leitoiv. There is an interesting comment that the Chasam Sefer makes, that if we wouldn't know that it came from the Chasam Sefer, we would think it's from one of the Rebbes. Because it sounds like a chassidish avor. The Chasam Sefer says this. The Chasam Sefer says that the name Kahos comes from the root to gather together. It's a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, V'loi yikos amim. Kahos means to gather together. And therefore, when the Torah talks about the family of Kahos, says the Chasam Sefer, it's referring to the period in history where Am Yisrael were gathered together, where Am Yisrael were living peacefully in Eretz Yisrael with the ability and the capacity to be Ovdei Hashem without any disturbance. Says the Chasam Sefer, Gershon, the name Gershon comes from the root Girush, Legaresh, which means to drive out. And therefore it's merames on the tkufa of Golus, which Klal Yisrael will go through. Even though Jews in Golus are not living in Eretz Yisrael, but you can be in Golus and still be an Ovdei Hashem and still learn Torah, as Golus Bovel or Golus America. There's no stopping a person doing what he's meant to do necessarily in Golus. Merari comes, says the Chasam Sefer, Miloshen Mara, bitter. That's Merumas, says the Chasam Sefer, to the periods of Golus where Jews are living in countries where they are persecuted to the degree that they can't be Isaac in Avedis Hashem and in Torah. Chassidus explains at length that Golus is not just a national tragedy. Golus is also a personal tragedy. Each individual has his own personal Golus. We say it in Davening every Friday night, of course, because we've got no idea what we're saying, so we don't know that we're saying it. In Chododi we say, but we're too busy clapping and jumping up and down to actually think about what we're saying. Nafshi Go'olo. Talking about personal Golus of the person. There are times in a person's life where everything's fine and he's functioning perfectly. There are times in a person's life where there are difficulties, but nevertheless he can still lead a relatively normal life and he can still be an Eved Hashem. But every individual goes through tkufis which are bitter. There is no individual who doesn't go through tkufas when it's difficult for him to behave the way that Ribbono Shel'olam wants him to behave, and it's difficult to him to be misasek in Avedas Hashem the way he should be misasek. The Torah uses the expression nosoi. Nosoi means leroimim. Nosoi means to uplift. The Ribbono Shel'olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, that your job is to give over a message to Klal Yisrael. And that's what the parasha starts off by saying. I want you to go and give over a message to Klal Yisrael. That's why it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leimah. And what's the message that I want to give you to give over to Klal Yisrael? In reference to the period of time of Gershom, in reference to the period of time of Kahos, in reference to those periods where the individual Jew in his life is peaceful, and it's fine, he can get on with his Avedis Hashem and his Limud Torah, or even the times where it's difficult but he can overcome it, right, then give them chizuk. You have to uplift them. However, when it comes to Merari, there's no point in using the expression L'Roime. There's no purpose in using the expression Nosei, to uplift. Because when a person is going through a depression, or when a person is going through a difficult period of time where he can't function within Torah and within Yerushalayim Bichlal, he can't not only accept Musa, he also can't accept encouragement. When a person is depressed, it's very difficult to encourage him or to uplift him in any manner whatsoever, because the whole time his mind is constantly occupied with the difficulty that he's going through, with the failures that he's going through, which results in a loss of self-esteem. And when a person is in a loss of self-esteem, there's no way in which either you can give him teichacha or you can uplift him. The family of Merari represent depression, represent failure. The family of Merari didn't carry in the Midbar the Oren, they didn't carry in the Midbar the Menorah, they didn't carry anything which seemed to be important. All they carried were the Koiras, the planks of wood which were the framework of the Mishkan. But there is a very, very important message in that. There is a very important concept in that. And that is that notwithstanding the fact that what they were carrying was of much less importance than what the rest of Klal Yisrael was carrying, at the end of the day they were still connected to the Mishkan. They were connected to the Mishkan because they were carrying the Koiras, and without the Koiras there wouldn't have been a Mishkan. Yes, it may not have been the Menorah, it may not have been the Oren, but they still had a connection. And the message that the Torah is trying to tell us is that in Yiddishkeit there doesn't exist the concept that I have no value, that I have no worth, that I legitimately shouldn't have any self-respect and any self-esteem. Because there doesn't exist the concept of a Jew who is not connected somewhere with the Mishkan, he's not connected somewhere with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because every Jew has a Chelek Elokim Imal. By virtue of the fact that he has a Chelek Elokim Imal, therefore there's no such thing as no hope. There is no concept in Yiddishkeit of the situation being hopeless. The whole of Judaism is built on hopeless situations which turned out for the better. Right? The whole of Klal Yisrael stems from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu and Sarah were in a hopeless situation. Medically, he couldn't have children, she couldn't have children. That's what Chazal say. He was an Akor and she was an Akora. They medically could not have children. Yet they had children. Which is the start of everything. that there is no such thing as hopeless, no such thing as beyond hope, because the whole of Yiddishkeit is built on the impossible. That's the lesson of Avraham and Sarah. That the whole of Klal Yisrael is built that the impossible is possible. And that's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was told here to give over to Klal Yisrael. There was a message here for Klal Yisrael. Avadagavista Pashta Pashat is that go count Klal Yisrael. But there was an ethical, moral message that was being over here, which God said to Moshe Rabbeinu Lema, tell it over to Klal Yisrael, because they have to know this. And the same is true of a yeshiva. There are two ways in which one can steig in a yeshiva. There's a situation of misyatei v'alderech toiv. There's a situation where a person is on the right direction, he has the right focus, he's on the right highway, but he's a human being, and he sometimes fails. And if you sometimes fail, you have to rectify that. So there are different educational systems as to how a person can rectify that. You can rectify that, and the process is that it starts with charata, and it continues to Aziva Sachet and to Kabbalah. And sometimes you do it in one manner, sometimes you do it in another manner. There are endless ways in which it can be done. And some depending upon the personality of the individual. Sometimes, as they say in Yiddish, mit guttens, and sometimes mit schlecht. Sometimes you do it by giving a guy space, and sometimes you do it by putting a guy into a boot camp. Right, but they're basically we're dealing with a guy who's on a misyatzev al derech toiv, but if somebody is totally on the wrong highway, he's a misyatzev al derech lo toiv. He's just not on the right highway. He's completely on the wrong highway. And he's completely on the wrong highway because he's put himself into this position. He put himself there. He will blame the whole world. He'll blame his parents, he'll blame his rabbis, he'll blame his neighbors, he'll blame his future mother-in-law, he'll blame everybody. Right? But at the end of the day, he put himself there. Vaharaya, he's there and other people aren't there. So there's a poshtaraya. Right? And sometimes he's there and his siblings aren't there, so it can't be the parents, because they both have the same parents, unless they've got casting aspirations on their mother. But if they're not casting aspirations on their mother, then it's not the parents. And sometimes they went to the same school, so it can't be the teachers, because they had the same teachers. And the answer is, it's the person himself. And because he messed up, he goes into a funk, and he goes into a depression, and he loses his self-esteem. And that just simply exacerbates the problem. And the problem becomes more and more intense. And there's no one to talk to. Because it's not going to work. In a situation like that, there is no choice, say Chazal. In a situation like that, the only way you can pull a person out of that is by ensuring that the person is misyatev al derech toiv. How do you ensure that the person is misyatev al derech toiv? So there's two ways of doing it. One way of doing it is by sitting him down in front of a map and showing him. You're trying to get from New York to Baltimore. Well then, try taking the 95. If they take the 95, you'll get there. But if you're going to take the road to Miami, you're not going to get there. You're just going to end up somewhere else. And if he can read a map, and he has the intelligence to understand the map, and he's mature enough to be able to handle the reading of a map, then you have no problem whatsoever. You sit down, it takes 5 minutes, you explain to him, you show him the map, you give him the map in his hand, and off he goes. But what happens if he's not in a matzav that he can read a map? He's not in a matzav that he can understand a map. He looks at the map and it's meaningless. Either because he hasn't got the focus of attention to be able to sit for 5 minutes and look at the map because he's ADHD'd out of his mind, or because nobody ever taught him to read, or because he can't be bothered, or because he's so depressed out of his mind that he says it doesn't help because I won't understand anyway what you're telling me, so he turns off straight away. But he has to get to Baltimore. So if he's on a little bit of a higher level, you say, you know what, forget about the map, we'll put a little contraption into your car, and there'll be a nice female there who will say to you, turn right, turn left, and another 300 feet, there will be a stop, stop there. And then she'll tell you to go. That's another way of doing it. But if he can't understand simple instructions, or he'll get so carried away in his imagination with the voice of the female that he won't even hear what she's saying, then he again isn't going to get to Baltimore. But the guy has to get to Baltimore, so what do? So it's very simple. You hire a car with a driver, you put the guy in the back seat, and somebody else drives the car. But he suffers from ADHD! So after 5 minutes, what's he going to be doing? He's going to be opening the doors and climbing out. Because he forgot to take his pills this morning, so he can't sit for 5 minutes. He's sitting in the back of the car, and he's like this. So what do you do in such a situation? You lock the doors of the car. But locking the doors of the car aren't going to help, because all he's going to be doing is jumping around with his ADHD from one door to the other door and back to the door and back to the other door, because every second he's going to say, oh, maybe the door suddenly opened. So what do? You padlock him. You handcuff his hands. You put leg irons on his legs. And you sit him down in the back seat, and he cannot move. And you don't even let him out for the bathroom. You give him a bottle, and you don't even let him eat. You force feed him through a tube for 4 hours until you get from New York to Baltimore. Because then you're guaranteed that he'll get there, because without any choice whatsoever, he is going to be misyatzev al derech toiv. He's going to take the right highway. And you do that once with him, and you do that twice with him, and you do that 3 times with him, and you do that 4 times with him, and you do that 5 times with him, you do that 6 times with him. And strangely enough, the 7th time, he may turn around to you and say to you, you know what? I actually think that I've learned the way to Baltimore. I can get there by myself. And you say, fine, we'll let you try it. And he tries it. Maximum, what will happen? He'll take a wrong turning at one point. Beseder. So he'll take her own turn and he'll stop at a gas station, because he knows the way already. And he'll ask the guy at the gas station, where did I go wrong? And try to get the bomb. He'll say, you went off the highway, get back on the 95, idiot. So he'll turn around and he'll get back on the 95. That's what we're going to do as of Sunday morning. As of Sunday morning, we're going to lock all you guys up. We're going to chain you to your seats. And maybe if we keep on going for the next 4 weeks, then you guys will learn to be misyatzev al derech toiv. So, Shacharis is at 8 o'clock, Mincha is at 1:15, Maariv is at 8:15, Shir is at 12:15, and the dorms will be locked and the dining room will be locked immediately after breakfast and for the rest of the day, and the dorms will be locked the whole day. And there will be nowhere for you to go. And if you need a bathroom, we'll give you a bottle. And if you want to eat, we'll give you a tube. And if you forget your pills in the dorm, you've had it. You will just be be climbing on the walls. And we will try. Now, the guys who survive will come back next month. And the guys who don't survive will not come back next month. And the guys who don't survive through the first week, we will get rid of in the first week, which will lower the cost of the yeshiva according to the estimations that we made. We'll lower our budget by 40% because we reckon, by 60% because we reckon 40% of the guys here will survive. Right, which will mean that Rabbi Lopium won't have to go fundraising on another trip, and he can stay here and sit and learn to his heart's delight the Chavrus with Rabbi Rubinov.